Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Then be ready, faithful pilgrim. This with you may be too late. I will meet you.
Today we're going to speak to you on establishing your heart through meditating God's Word. And Pam's talked to you a lot about the established heart and how to let your heart become established. So this morning we're going to talk to you about meditating. There is a method presented in God's Word. There's a method presented in God's Word whereby your heart can become established on God's Word, and that is meditation in the Word. Number one, meditation, the Word of God, is the key to establishing your heart. Meditation on the Word of God, or meditating the Word of God, is what I would call getting quiet before the having a quiet talk with God, and meditating. It's being quiet. It's not just silent, but it's quiet. And being quiet. And I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we'll read Joshua 1 and 8. Joshua 1 and 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I just kind of jotted down three things that meditating God's Word will happen in your life, will cause. It will cause you to observe the things that God and you are talking about, to observe. It's like getting a picture painted and getting all together where you can see what the Word's saying to you. Okay? And then number two is causing your way to be prosperous in all that you do. You know, there's a scripture that says, everything your hand touches shall prosper. You know, it's okay to speak to God and meditate the Word and say, I know God, everything my hands touch prospers. That's good. That's good. He loves for you to communicate with Him and meditate on the Word of God. And number three, it brings you good success. I like to call it getting to full maturity of the things that you're believing God for and meditating on the things of God. And so Joshua gives us this verse and tells us that it shall not depart out of your mouth, but it shall what? Where does meditation come from? From the Word. Heart. Meditation comes from the heart. You see, you get it in your heart, you get it in your head, and what happens? Your body comes in line. Okay? It's like when you are meditating and you're having a physical battle. I know here about 4 years ago, or I guess it was four, was it 97? I got an electrical shock, a huge shock. 400 some odd volts hit me and knocked me off of a ladder. And when I was laying there, all I thought about, I'm still alive, you know, and I knew I was alive because I was moving. And but what happened, it caused a disturbance into my heart, physically into my heart, and it disrupted a valve. And we went to the emergency. I went to
4 months.
4 months. I got bothered with a breaking out in my leg, swelling up, hurting, couldn't walk hardly. And great big spot came up on me and real bad looking. And I thought, Lord, I've trusted you for, Lord, all these years, never been to a doctor. And so, but Brandon, I did go to a doctor. I didn't know whether my faith level wasn't where I wasn't meditating properly, Craig, or what was going on. But something happened that year in the month of July. And I did give up. I did go to a doctor, and he said for me to start taking antibiotics. Well, what's that?
Endocarditis.
Endo. See, I'm not too good with these medical stuff. Enco what now?
Endo.
Endocarditis. Okay. That's what they said I have. It's similar to staph infection. Mm-hmm. And it was caused by this shock, and I didn't realize what it had done, but it had got into my heart. And I began to swell and hurt, and I went to a doctor. Finally, they tested me, and they said, your valve's messed up, something's wrong, you need to go to the hospital. I said, oh, no, I've never been to the hospital. And so all I could think about is all the years I'd preached divine healing. Now, boy, immediately that run through my mind. I began to meditate on it. Oh, God, you said by your stripes I was healed. And so I began to, but I became fearful. I don't know about you, if you've ever had anything to happen to you and you didn't know it, I got a little fearful when they said the heart valve. And so I went to the doctor. They put me in the hospital. They said, your valve's disrupted. We don't know for sure what's caused it. And it's come up now with the shock deal. And they tell me this. And they said, probably you will have to have an operation. We'll have to put a new valve in there. And I said, can you guarantee the valve to work? Will you guarantee it? They said, we can't fully guarantee anything that we take out of you to put in. I said, what kind of valve is it? And they was telling me it's some kind of animal valve and all this stuff. And I began to meditate with God and talk to the Lord. And I said, God, they don't even want to guarantee it. They don't want to guarantee it, Lord. Why should I let them do this to me if they won't guarantee it? And I got thinking, well, Ray, in the physical, nothing's fully guaranteed. Nothing's fully guaranteed. And so we went on for about a year, and they kept messing with me, talking to me, telling me it'd probably be a few more months. You need this, need that. Finally, one day, Pam and I said, what happened to my faith? You know? And so I went to God, and the Lord said, quit going to the doctors. I said, well, Lord, okay, I'll quit going, you know. So I just quit going. Finally, I went back 1 year later, and they wanted to do one more test on me, and they said, you got a clear bill of health. Your valve is healing. Everything's coming together. And I got excited. Amen? I'm not telling you that you do that, okay? I'm really not. There's no way I would tell just anybody to do that, because I don't know where their faith level is. I don't know how they would trust God during that year. I don't know. But I know what I had to do. I had to just lay it aside and leave them alone and believe God. And it was either that or do what they said without a fully guarantee. And I'm one of those. If anybody's going to cut on me, they better guarantee me to fix me. Amen? And so, anyway, God's good, and it worked out. But we had to get it in the Word. I'm telling you, what had happened, I believe that year I had not stayed in the Word like I should have and meditated on God's Word. You know, driving down the road, you can meditate on the Word of God. Going to work, you meditate on God. You better. I'll tell you what, there's somebody out there that's not meditating. There's somebody out there that is not where they need to be. And if two people hits each other, you know, I'm telling you, it's easy out on those roads somebody to hit you, and you've just got to keep your mind on the Lord. I guarantee you, it's all right to meditate on God going to work. It's all right to meditate on the job, you know, because what that does to you, it keeps you in a quiet spirit with everybody around you. When they are disrupted, when they're having a problem, when they're going through turmoil and they're exposing themselves of turmoil and terrorism going on, and they're telling this and telling that, you are having a song in your heart, and you're meditating on the Word of the living God, and this will cause you to become in full maturity with God, and you'll find yourself always speaking the positive and not the negative. Amen? Amen. Meditating on the Word of the living God. It's really important to do that. It's talk the Word, meditate the Word, and act on the Word. Number three, God's formula for prosperity, success, and dealing wisely in all the affairs of life. Talk the Word, meditate the Word, and act on the Word. It's really important to meditate the Word. Meditate the Word, number four, the Word causes God's Word to indwell in you. It will cause your heart to become established, fixed, and settled. Consequently, you will not be moved by circumstances and situations around you. It brings the body into subjection. The established heart says to the body, everything's okay. Now you get in line. Now, if you get the heart and the head knowledge in line, that body jumps to attention. I'm telling you. The body gets to attention, and then you tell that body what it's going to do. And the body listens to the Spirit of God. Amen? Because the Spirit of God gives you power over all the enemy. And it prospers you in all the ways you should go. I know. How many's, and you don't know, show of hands, but probably there's people in this audience this morning that have been believing for a miracle to happen, the finances to come in, Isn't it something how money always happens when we talk about getting blessed? You know, if we all had an extra $1 million in the bank today, if everybody in this building had $1 million in the bank today, you would probably say, well, I just won't report to my job tomorrow. But you know, that's not true. You really shouldn't feel that way. You would have more to be blessed with God and more to bless God, and you would still be that person, still shows up, still does what they're supposed to do. Because, you know, when I wouldn't go around probably telling everybody, I got $1 million, you know, in the bank, because you'll be in loan business. They'll be after you. Amen? But you know what? It could be fun just giving somebody $1,000. Huh? It really would be fun. If you had $1 million, I bet I could give them $1,000 and just laugh about it. Amen? I just walk and pay the car off. You know, that'd be nice. But anyway, it's good this morning that you know who you are in God and that you're established, you're fixed and settled. Now, we've read this scripture over and over and over, but we've got to turn to it again. Psalms 112. And I know Pam has said this, and I may say something a little different about it, but you know, we've been married going on 33 years, and we kindly complement each other in a lot of ways, and I've always told everybody she's the teacher and I'm the preacher. But you know what I found out? You've still got to be apt to teach. You've got to be apt to teach. Everybody in this building needs to be apt to teach. 112, Psalms 112, it says in verse number 6, we'll read, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Think about that. His heart is fixed. Now, if your heart is fixed, you're going to trust in the Lord. You're just not going to fear. You're not going to fear of evil tidings and of terror by night. All that stuff that's going on, it's not going to affect you. I've even quit watching the cotton picking CNN. I just quit watching. Honestly, you know, they've always got something to tell you. Huh? I mean, I just quit watching. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. This is getting old. Ain't no use keep watching, hearing what Peter Jennings has to say or what Tom Brokaw has to say or all those people. Amen? You know, they're getting paid big bucks to talk. See, they're getting paid big bucks to talk. We're not getting paid big bucks to listen. Amen? Now, if they'd pay me what they get and talk to listen, you know, make it a little easier to listen, huh? But, and we hear a lot of propaganda. We hear a lot of things. And so our heart's fixed, so we're not afraid of evil tidings. We're not afraid. We're trusting in the Lord. See, because we know Psalms 46:1 says, he's a present help in time of trouble. Amen. You're not afraid. You meditate on God. You're not afraid of your shadow. You know, I remember when I was just a small kid, I used to see my shadow walk with me, you know, I think. I reckon there's somebody over there, you know. But it was my shadow. It just following along, going before me or something, you know. And we can't let no fear come in and disturb what God's telling us, and we're meditating. As we meditate on the Word of God, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I got something to really tell you about meditation after a while. Okay. Psalms 1. Let's read Psalms 1. This is a great verse. Psalms 1. Honey, I'm trying to follow this little pamphlet. Psalms 1. Psalms 1. It says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth well sinners, nor says he is scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. When you really get a love for the Word of God, you'll just meditate about it. I mean, you'll just, it's okay to get a scripture, to find the situation. Just meditate on it, you know. Because, listen, the enemy knows how far he can go. And he has to stop. There's a stopping point for him. And when you're meditating on the Word of God, you're shutting out the thought life from what he's trying to tell you. Because, see, he's trying to whisper one inside of your ear, and God's telling you, and when you get to, into the spirit of meditation, then you're closing out all of those things that are trying to surround you. Because what? The Bible says the angels, Lord, encamp around about them that fear him. Now, there's the angels are out there. God has the angels. You've got an angel. And as you meditating on the Word of God going to the job, your angel's sitting on top of your car. He's riding with you. You know, I don't know how big they are. So I've heard all kinds of stories. You know, I'm not for sure. They're pretty big. Amen. When a semi-truck driver sees that angel, you know, in your car, he's going to throw on the brakes. Amen. Because, you know, that angel's like this. And it's your security as you're meditating on God. You have protection in all of those things. And so he says we meditate on the Word day and night. We meditate. We have what? We have the Word of God in our heart. Let's turn to Psalms 37, verse 31. 37, verse 31. 37, verse 31. Okay. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Isn't that good? You're like the hinds feet of the deer. You see, none of your steps shall slide. You have good tread. I mean, you have the Word of God to withstand and to keep you from sliding, varying, but walk in the ways of God. And as you walk in the ways of God, you'll find out the love of God's there, the love of the Word's there, and you'll find the love of the Word is more precious. Now, I'll tell you what, you know, if you sit and watch TV for 2 or 3 hours, it's hard to just go to meditating. You know, I mean, they've got movies on TV now that says they are G or PG or whatever, but still they get a little bit rank. You know what I'm saying? When I was growing up, they didn't allow words to be said on TV that they say today. They really didn't. I mean, they've just turned them loose, and they just let them say what they want to say, you know. And if you infiltrate your heart for 2 or 3 hours with those kind of words, you're not going to go to meditating just real quick. But there is a formula for meditation. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But it says here that the law of his God is in his heart. David said, I have hid the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against God. When that word gets into your heart, it brings that mind into attention. When the mind gets to attention, the body gets to attention, and you're walking and talking with God, and you're going to start speaking stuff like verse 25. I have been young. Some of us are older. We can say this, Brother Howe. We're not as young as we used to be. It says here, I have been young and I'm now old, Brother Patrick. I wouldn't say he's old, would you? I would say he's just older than he used to be.
I'm older than I used to be.
But he's not old. You're older than you used to be, but you're not old. None of us are old, are we?
Y'all the line of preaching in that
way. I would say that when we get 109, 110, we might be growing older. Okay? But we are older than we used to be at 13 to 16 to 20 years old. Okay. And then what it was saying, David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken and seed begging bread.
Amen.
Man, it's okay to meditate that. You're not going to be a beggar. No. You're not going to be a beggar. No, sir. No. Look, you know, Jesus healed a blind Bartimaeus more than a blind eyes. He was a beggar. When he healed him blind eyes, he wasn't no more a beggar, was he?
No.
If you get the eyes healed, brother, you're no longer a beggar.
Amen.
You can see. You can go get things done. Amen?
Amen.
And so when he gets your heart fixed, you can get it accomplished. And so he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Okay. Now, Number six, meditation is more than just reading the Word. To meditate the Word means fix your mind on the Word and dwell in it on your thought life day and night. Close out all those things around you. You know, being around the public like we do, and around you do, I'm sure, your mind can get filled with all kinds of situations. You know, even people you work with today, the companies, the superintendents, the contractors, the big general contractors, I have never seen such violent language that they use. I told one day, he's a businessman, very prominent businessman. He must be a millionaire. I know he does. He's probably a $15 million millionaire. And he was cussing, and I said, "Sir, can I ask you a question? How did you become so wealthy and cuss?" He looked at me, and he was angry when he looked at me. And he said, "Well, it's my business." And I said, "But, sir, you're a businessman. When you're talking to people, why would you want to cuss? You have millions of dollars." But you know what I got thinking? God may not have gave him that $15 million. It hit me. Sometimes we think, boy, look at the world. Man, they're so blessed and prosperous. Hey, but you know what? If they're not walking with God, and if they're not where they need to be with God, they don't have anything. It's just temporal.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
Receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their believing. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, you keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged. Bread upon the water, soon it's gonna come back home on every way. You've got to keep casting your bread upon the water, soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Your measure pressed down, check come together, running over, soon it's gonna come back home on every way. Seeking the kingdom instead of working for your need. You gotta keep sharing.